You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
There have been successful democratic elections in Haiti, but the recent national elections on November 28th have ended with protests over fraud and vote rigging and no clear winner. Those elections came in the wake of a devastating earthquake that have left a million homeless and more recently led to an outbreak of cholera. Roger Annis from the Canada-Haiti Action Network joins us to discuss those recent elections, and he joins us by phone from Nanaimo. Hello, Roger.
Good morning.
Let's first establish a little bit of context for the November 28th election. What did the Haitian government, advise about holding national elections?
Well, a lot of us, of course, are asking why these elections were held in the first place. The idea was being floated and really pressured by the international community almost before the dust had settled from the earthquake. Canada was among those of the big foreign governments that are present in Haiti that were pressing for this course as far back as April. And in fact, these elections were paid for by the big powers that are in Haiti, close to $30 million, principally from the United States, Canada, and Europe. And so their argument was that these elections would produce a more stable and representative government in Haiti that could deal with the humanitarian crisis. The argument that we saw and that we made sure that people in Canada knew was that there were many human rights and other organizations in Haiti that were saying the opposite, that this was a deeply flawed process from the beginning that could not result in anything but more conflict and division in Haiti.
Well, let's look at the conditions of the electoral infrastructure in Haiti. What were they like at the time of the election?
Well, we had two big concerns with this election. One was the exclusion of some political parties, and notably the FANMI-Lavalas party that was founded by the exiled former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who is in South Africa still to this day. The party, as far back as 2009, has been ruled off the ballot by the Electoral Commission of Haiti, which is a body appointed by the sitting president. So that was a great concern that we had some months before the election. And then we, of course, talked about the humanitarian crisis. How could you hold an election, and why would you hold an election in the midst not only of the crisis following the earthquake, but then the outbreak of cholera, which began in mid-October? And then finally, it's clear that the infrastructure required to hold a fair and democratic elections could not exist under the conditions of the humanitarian crisis, having a proper registration list, people being able to get access so they can register to vote, and then to actually get to polling stations on voting day. And as anyone who watched the television coverage of the chaos on voting day could see, all of these things came together to form just a chaotic and really a fiasco on election day.
And so in pragmatic terms, it was just not feasible to hold an election at this time.
No, what the human rights organizations and social organizations, many of them in Haiti, were saying is that the first thing that the country has to do, and still has to do 11 months after the earthquake, is come together around a plan both for effective earthquake relief and the beginnings of reconstruction of the country. And of course, this is doubly urgent now with the outbreak of cholera and the potential of hundreds of thousands of people becoming infected with cholera. So in effect, the country did that in a way, of course, following the earthquake. The first response wasn't to run out and hold an election. It was to bring the country together, the political parties, the social organizations, and then in collaboration with the international community to develop an effective response. Now, as we know, the response to the earthquake relief program has been very flawed and inadequate, and hundreds of thousands of people in Haiti to this day are not receiving effective aid and assistance. So that task still lies in front of the country, and this is what people in Haiti were saying. People like Mario Joseph, who came to Canada at the end of October and spoke several times to CBC, made that appeal. This is what we need first, and when we're comfortable that the basic humanitarian needs that the people require are in place, then we can begin to plan out an election that would be fair and representative, but instead we had something essentially imposed on Haiti by the foreign powers who, you know, we could talk about, but really have not been very interested in seeing democracy in place in Haiti. And the results today is that we, you know, the country is now in a far worse position today than it was before the earthquake, before the election, to respond to the humanitarian crisis.
And why were those foreign powers so insistent on going through with these elections?
Well, this is sadly it's the history of the past 10 years in Haiti, a history that, you know, we would say has been one of exclusion of the Haitian people from their own political process and a kind of disenfranchisement of the Haitian people. This began in the year 2000 when the people went to the polls. Haiti had a very orderly and successful election, but from the standpoint of the foreign powers, the results of that election were deemed to be unsatisfactory, and so an aid embargo was imposed against the government of Jean-Bertrand Aristide and the Fanmi-Lavalas party, which won the election overwhelmingly. 4 years later, that government was overthrown by a paramilitary uprising with military backing from the U.S., France, and Canada, and then we saw a very flawed election in 2006, which brought René Préval into the presidency. And so, you know, this latest election is just, you know, another part of that process that's gone on, whereby the foreign powers have acted very forcefully to try and impose in Haiti a government that would be completely subservient to their interests, and those interests conflict with the aspirations for social justice of the Haitian people.
Well, let's look at this election itself. Who were the candidates on the ballot?
Well, there were a total of 32 candidates who applied to run, and 14 were ruled off the ballot. So you had 18 candidates who ran. Now, the results of the vote count are extremely controversial because the Electoral Commission declared after it counted the ballots that Maniga came in first, but that the second person to come in was Jude Celestin, who was the candidate supported by the outgoing president, René Préval, and in fact is a son-in-law of the outgoing president. The Haitian people were very angry to see Jude Celestin come in as the second candidate because they just don't, they didn't see where the popular support for him could have produced such a result. Very closely behind him is the pop singer Michel Martelly, and so there's been a huge controversy over these declared results because, according to the Haitian Constitution, if a candidate does not receive 50% of the vote in the first round, then the presidential election as well as the Senate and legislature, which were also voted, although that's been much less in the news. But the top two presidential candidates and also in the legislature and Senate seats go into a runoff vote. And so what you have now, the Electoral Commission has said that Miran Maniga and Jude Celestin were the top two candidates. They will go into the runoff. There's only about 6,000 votes, according to the count of the Electoral Commission, that separate Celestin from the third candidate. And so his supporters of Michel Martelly have been demonstrating most forcefully. And so now there's a dilemma that the international community has. If they allow this runoff to go ahead as it stands, this has very little credibility among the Haitian people. If they try to, you know, rig the Haitian Constitution to have a third candidate, Michel Martelly, come in, well, that just throws the Constitution out the window. And so it seems the solution that they have arrived at is the Electoral Commission announced several days ago that it will recount the votes that it received, such as that, as that happened in all of its chaos. And I have little doubt that they'll decide, oh gosh, we made a mistake here, and so yes, Michel Martelly will be the second candidate after all. But it's very hard to predict, and there's tremendous tension and conflict over all of this right now in Haiti, and even some armed clashes. I read at least one report so far that the supporters of Jude Celestin are provoking violent confrontations with the supporters of other candidates in order to push the UN military forces that are in Haiti to begin to act more decisively to stop the protests that have been happening against the whole electoral charade. So it's a very dangerous, a very, you know, potentially conflictive situation that is very worrisome to a lot of people in Haiti itself.
Well, what about these three candidates, Celestin, Martelly, and Manigat? What do we know about them?
Well, Maniga is she's from the ruling class of Haiti. Her husband was a president for a short term in the late 1980s until he was ousted by Haiti's military. There wasn't an election that brought him in, but she's a former first lady of Haiti and very close to Haiti's elite. Celestin is very close to the outgoing president René Prevalle, a technocrat again with connections to the middle and upper classes of Haiti. And you must remember there's a great deal of anger today in Haiti against René Prevalle and against his chosen successor, Jude Celestin, because of the failure of the earthquake relief effort. People place considerable responsibility for the catastrophic humanitarian situation today at the doorstep of the Haitian government. So for the Electoral Commission appointed by Prevalle to declare that Celestin could have been a credible candidate in his elections is, it just piles on to the existing anger over the humanitarian crisis. And then finally, Michel Martelly is a well-known pop singer in Haiti who decided to enter the electoral race and is kind of, I would say from my, limited knowledge of what's happened during the election campaign, a populist figure, a sort of elect me and one guy me, I'll take care of Haiti's problems. And there's, unfortunately, a bit of a dangerous precedent on this in Haitian politics. So it's not a very good mix. And in the midst of all this is the fact that the largest and most representative party in the country, Fanmi Labalas of Jean Bertrand Aristide, was not even allowed to participate. So it's a very toxic mix right now.
There have been wide reports of fraud and vote rigging. How do Haitians view these recent elections?
Well, for sure, and we saw it on the television. Anyone who watched the CBC's coverage, I'm not sure about the other news agencies, because that's the one that I watch most closely. I mean, we just saw it. It was just so blatant and obvious that it was not possible for the ordinary Haitian person to easily and comfortably go out and cast a ballot on that day. Those that did cast ballots did so despite great odds, and the actual voter participation is difficult to measure. I've seen everything from participation rates of 10% to 20% of the adult population. So those are very low. But you have to look at the whole mix that went into this election. You have all of the anger and frustration over the failed earthquake response. Piled on top of that is the cholera outbreak, which has been traced to the contingent of the UN military force in Haiti that came from Nepal, and then the dysfunction of the election itself. There's just very, very many reasons for Haitian people to be angry about all this, because this is not of their making. When I wrote with a colleague an op-ed article in the Toronto Star last week, the headline that we chose, because we really wanted to get this message out, is "Don't blame the Haitian people for this election fiasco." This was something that was imposed on them, and so you have a whole range of very, very important issues confronting the people in the country over which people are quite angry, and rightfully so.
Is there any chance that we will see real elections, including those people, those candidates who were excluded this time around? Is there any chance that we will see real elections somewhere down the road in Haiti?
Well, sadly, it's very hard to predict right now. I mean, the most responsible thing that could happen right now is that this whole election process that was set in motion should simply be stopped now, and the country, as well as the foreign powers that are in Haiti, should get back to the planning of earthquake relief and reconstruction, which has really just barely begun in Haiti. Get that process going, and then figure out the best kind of timing. Certainly a precondition for effective elections in Haiti in the future will be the dissolution of the existing Electoral Commission, which was appointed by René Prevalle, and its replacement by a truly representative commission. The banning of political parties, especially of Fanmi Labalas, must be lifted. Now, whether calm and reasonable voices will prevail, and there are many in Haiti advising such a course, as well as internationally, I think at this stage looks unlikely. The world powers, Canada, the United States, Europe, seem very determined to press forward on this course to hold the second round runoff election. But this is going to be a tragedy because this is going to cost lives, and I mean the lives of people who are afflicted with cholera or who are living in the tent camps under abominable conditions, who will not get the resources that they should in the coming months because so much attention, so much conflict and division has been centered around these elections, and this is diverting resources from urgently needed humanitarian programs.
Well, thanks so much, Roger, for updating us on things down there in Haiti.
Well, you're very welcome. I wish I could bring, perhaps more positive news to listeners, but it's the reality, and we urge people to get more informed. Look at the website of the Canada-Haiti Action Network or the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti and talk to our members of Parliament in Canada. Why are all political parties in Canada supporting this flawed process that we've just seen happen in Haiti? We have to put some hard questions to our MPs.
Thanks again, Roger.
You're welcome.
Roger Annis is from the Canada-Haiti Action Network, and the website that he just mentioned is canadahaitiaction.ca.